There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archived for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
Length reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. We're into the second hour of the weekend edition. Corey and I are chatting on now with Glenn Downs. Glenn, you sent me some very interesting news articles on what's going on with U.S. troops in Iraq right now. They're pretty much running into a stone wall, aren't they?
Well, that's right, Big Al. What's happened is, in the wake of the uprising coming from ISIS and the Islamic State over there, as they've that really radical element of Islam is trying to reestablish a caliphate. The Islamic State of the ISIS fighters just overran the Iraqi military that the United States had spent over a decade and hundreds of billions of dollars allegedly training up. And in fact, there are instances where commanders just abandoned their post, abandoned weapons and weapon systems, that all fell into the hands of ISIS. And so ISIS has got U.S.-provided weapons by way of the Iraqi army. They control, obviously, large swaths of Iraq, as well as Syria, Jordan. So it's a tough business over there. So the United States has re-engaged to an extent now in Iraq by sending in trainers, parenthetically, please, everybody needs to understand that armed U.S. paramilitary folks have never left Iraq. There are what amount to mercenary troops from people like the old Blackwater firm. It's called something else today, but there are several firms like that that provide. So there's U.S. guns and muscle over there. They're just not officially under the U.S. flag. They're more like the Hessian troops used in the American Revolution by the British. So, but now uniformed U.S. troops are back in Iraq, allegedly to train the Iraqis that had got overrun after having been trained by us for a decade. And what the article I sent to you indicated was they had talked to the New York Times and they had talked to U.S. soldiers who had been deployed 5-6 times over to that part of the world, and part of their mission and earlier deployments had been to train these very people they're back to train before, and they observed that it was as if no one had ever trained these people. Whatever work had been done, whatever money had been spent, whatever effort had been expelled, it was just not visible. And they were very discouraged and very disheartened, and you can see why.
Glenn, the biggest issue that I have with these continued stories, it seems like, is that the U.S. continues to get itself either involved or somewhat obligated to move into these countries because they either destabilize them or other countries are just looking at the U.S. to do something. So instead of putting strictly their own citizens on the ground, they go into these other organizations and factions and train these groups. And you even alluded to it there, but I want you to go a little bit more in depth that it seems like a losing battle and a continuous, brutal circle that they get in the sense that I wouldn't be surprised in 5 to 10 years to hear that now these people that the U.S. is training have turned on us and we now need to go in and fight them with the weapons that we gave them.
Your observation is probably a good one, in as much as that's happened before. You'll recall that Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan originated from the groups that the United States had backed to help fight the Soviet Union back in the day in Afghanistan. So the so-called Mujahideen morphed over, becomes Al-Qaeda, and Al-Qaeda seems to have been morphed or eclipsed by ISIS, each of which are more brutal, more lethal, and people that have benefited from actual military training. This is all in the public domain, that many of the military commanders in ISIS, and many of which have been actually identified, I mean, they know who these people are, they were formerly people in the Iraqi military that, in fact, the U.S. did help train. They've become by one device or the other part of this much more radicalized Islamic movement. And one of the things as a Christian myself that I find very disheartening is people, you know, we look at that part of the world and we see, obviously Sunni Muslims and Shia Muslims and Alawite Muslims and various factions within those, but people forget there is a minority, but it's a significant minority of the people there are Christians. And then the countries that the United States has gone in and helped destabilize, places like Libya, Syria, places like Iraq, the life of Christians in that part of the world is much more brutal and much more repressed than it was under the strongman dictators that existed there before. So if we were trying to project American values across the way, that some of the people that we're supposed to be protecting are trying to help, we've caused some of the greatest harm to. And it's very disturbing to me. The United States government, and even within the various departments of government, are not unified in the way that sometimes they're working across purposes one with the other. You know, so you'll have these troops that are going in, for example, that were detailed in that article, are there with one mission in mind and one motivation in mind, and then they're over in the State Department, there may be another whole faction that's working at much more nefarious cross purposes that view all of these people in the region, sometimes up into and including our own people, as being pawns in a great chess game of Metternichian dimensions and world domination and the so-called great game. They are moving map lines and concerned about access to resources and pipelines and who has influence over this and influence over that. And meanwhile, forgetting along the way that there are all kinds of very real people that really suffer, frankly, as the consequence of our actions. It's not just the motivation that sells the public because we're trying to do the right thing. We see injustice and we're trying to right it. Well, but it might be about who controls what oil field or where some pipeline goes. We bear some very real responsibility for this.
I think we bear some very, very real responsibility for that, Glenn. You know, it's interesting. You hit the nail on the head. When a person stops and thinks about where are the two largest supplies of oil in the world today located, number one, they're located in Iran. Number two, they're located in Saudi Arabia. I find it absolutely fascinating. That is one place where I totally agree with Ron Paul when he said our only involvement over there is you can talk about all the altruistic reasons, but it's all about oil and it's all about economics. Do me a favor. You made a reference to something called the Great Game just a few minutes ago. What exactly does that mean?
Well, the Great Game is a term of art that's used to describe the people like Zabrinsky and other folks who want to play the great game of geopolitical domination and who's up and who's down and which sphere of influence one country has over one region of the world or another. And it's about an empire. It's like the big game of Risk, you know, where people are moving their troops from here to there, and there might be all kinds of different ways of using it. There's a guy named John Perkins who wrote a book called Confessions of an Economic Hitman that talks about some of the economic things that people connected to some of the security services, the three-letter agencies, do to undermine foreign operations and buttress U.S.-based or U.S.-favored operations in different parts of the world. And again, they view the world, folks that like to get play in the, like Victoria Nuland over at the State Department, who's the Assistant Secretary of State for European Affairs, like to view the world as a chessboard. And they are moving pieces on a chessboard around, and sometimes you sacrifice a pawn in order to try to take somebody else's rook, forgetting along the way that those pawns are real people. Real people's lives and property and hopes and dreams, and real people die and have their lives turned totally upside down by people that are trying to play this so-called great game.
Glenn, sorry, unfortunately we are out of time. Kind of a sad note to end on right there, but I'm sure we'll be having this conversation again another time with you because I find it quite fascinating.
We are the premier independent talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
By now, you may have heard a bit about Bitcoins, but did you know Bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept Bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning Bitcoins or trying to make money in the Bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive Bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for Bitcoin. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.co.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Okay, another good friend and valuable guest is Abby Gilbert. Abby, you're saying right now that in your world, your investment vehicle of choice is the IWM, the Russell 2000, right?
Correct. Out of all the indices that we're tracking, I think the Russell has the most potential of upside right now.
Why is that?
Well, based upon the way this has been following through, almost in textbook fashion, we're looking for our next target up at the 132 to 136 region in a kind of a parabolic type of move. There's still probably going to be further weakness into next week on it. But, you know, once we hit a bottom, I got two targets for a bottom. The upper target rests between 122.36 and 123.49. So that's our first upper target. And should that hold, then we're looking to go directly to 136, possibly even higher, within probably about a month's time. It'll be a very, very fast move. Ultimately, I think the IWM is going to be taking us well over 140, approaching 150, 155.
Now, Avi, I want to chat with you about the precious metals, gold in particular. We haven't covered it very much on this weekend show simply because, personally, I find the gold market to be pretty slow and boring right now. We are very much range-bound and very much just moving sideways. But we did have a comment come in asking us to address this topic with you, being that when you were speaking at the PDAC conference back in early March in Toronto, you mentioned that you expected a bottom in gold within the next 12 months. This is slightly earlier than some of our other commentators have predicted. Can you give us an idea why and if you still hold to that call?
The answer is yes. I mean, initially, I thought we were going to take the opportunity to set it up at the end of last year. Market got so bearish that, you know, it just took off rather than dropped as I wanted to see. The setup we're seeing now is we can get a little bit of a pullback right now into early next week. But I think it'll probably set up a really strong rally out into probably May or so. That's my ideal, is what I'd like to see, a really nice rally. Taking, you know, at bare minimum target on the GLD is going to be about 119 or so. Ideally, I'd like to see us going back up to 2015 highs and get everybody very, very bullish. But that's going to take a little time. But once that occurs, I think that's going to be setting us up for a final decline, which my guesstimate is probably going to be around the fall, which is approximately the same time I'm seeing when the market, the overall equity market, is going to top.
Okay, let's talk about the overall equity markets, if you don't mind. A number of our commentators are looking for some continued strength in the market and then a rather large collapse. I got to tell you, Avi, from a fundamental standpoint, that's what I believe, too.
From a technical standpoint, the S&P 500 is not exactly in the best posture to see significant gains. This is why I kept harping since 2014. The Russell had the potential to significantly outperform the S&P 500 based upon the structure that we've been seeing. And again, it has been playing out in textbook fashion, so much so that we literally have gotten every top and every bottom in the overall markets coming into 2015, since we called the top in December. We literally have gotten just about every single top and bottom. That's how well the Russell has structured for us. I'm still expecting a little more weakness into next week. Depending on how deep it gets, we're still looking up into late spring, early summer on the markets. And that's just going to be, you know, the most powerful segment of the rally. We'll then have some weakness in the summer and then further rally into the fall.
So, Avi, you're very much along the lines of even the way seasonally this plays out, where we get the sell-off over the summer, the traders all get back to their desks, and they just seem to truly have this faith in the markets that they're going to continue higher, and this fall or collapse that some people are predicting out there just is not going to happen around the corner. Is that correct?
I don't believe it's going to happen until we reach the fall, both the top to the equity markets and just so happens the bottom to the metals market. So around the fall of 2015 is my expectation. And from there, I'm looking for potentially a 20 to as much as a 30% drop on the equity markets going into the first, maybe even pushing out to the second quarter of 2016.
Avi, I'm going over a number of comments on our blog right now, and I'm just curious. We have a lot of people who are looking for a major downturn in terms of the commodity sector, not only in terms of precious metal, but also in terms of agricultural products. Any comments on that?
Actually, I have not looked at the charts that my guys put out on the ags right now, so I'm not up to date on the ag. But, you know, overall, the question people have to ask is, you know, in general terms, when the majority of the market believes one thing is going to happen, you have to ask yourself, is that really what usually happens? Does the majority of the market get it right?
That's a very good point, Avi, and I think that it is, well, at least recently, good to be on the sides of at least some of the big banks are paying attention to what they're doing, because that apparently tends to be where the big money is flowing right now, and I continue to believe that the big money is dominating this market, and the fact that these markets are getting pretty expensive, especially these high-flying stocks for the average citizen out there, and that's why the banks just continue to ride these stocks higher, because I think they're getting a lot of the money, and you can't deny that the access to free money definitely has been supporting these markets moving higher.
Well, we're looking for interest rates. I know people are looking at what's going on over in Germany and negative interest rates, but we're looking for our interest rates to be begin ticking higher later this year.
And specifically how much higher, Avi? And why do you say that?
We're not going to know until we actually start to see how the move develops. But we're definitely looking at this I can't call it necessarily a bubble. We're going to be seeing a shifting paradigm throughout all the markets. That being dollar and dollar relationship to the equities, dollar relationship to metals, bonds. I think we're just going to see an overall shift in the paradigm. And people who apply intermarket analysis have been left in the dust for the last year or two and will continue to be left in the dust. Intermarket analysis, I think, is going to get people on the wrong side.
When you say an overall shift in the paradigm, what exactly do you mean?
You know, I've been warning about this for the last 2 years, where we see periods of time where you're going to see strong rallies in both the dollar and the equities, as well as strong rallies in the dollar along with strong rallies in the metals. Well, you know, we saw periods of time where towards the end of last year into the beginning of this year, I think we saw a 14% rally in gold at the same time where the dollar was going parabolic. At the same time, we saw, you know, a 17% rally in the equities at the same time. I mean, so, you know, I think if people are not watching what's going on and they're making assumptions about what the relationships are in intermarket, I think they're going to be left in the dust scratching their head.
Avi, I appreciate your comments. Everybody, stick around. We're going to be right back with Jeff Dice.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
We are America's largest independently owned communications network, GCN.
We all know that Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water filtration systems. The Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Attention taxpayers, if you've received a notice from the IRS or state, do not ignore it. It's also a big mistake to try and handle your tax problem on your own. If you owe back taxes, it's a fact that the government has the power to take everything you own, including your home, business, wages, savings, and your freedom. But here's the good news. There's a special toll-free tax hotline set up especially for you. This tax hotline will tell you about new programs that are geared to help you dramatically settle, reduce, or eliminate what you owe. But you have to call now. Take down this number or put it in your cell phone. But call 877-345-7645. That's 877-345-7645. 800-345-7645. When you call, you'll get free information on how you can reduce or eliminate back taxes, including penalties and interest. You can also be helped if you have unfiled returns, a tax lien, wage garnishment, bank levy, or if you've been entered into a payment plan but can't make the payments. Don't make the big mistake in thinking you can ignore or handle your tax problem on your own. You can stop the collection process immediately at 1-877-345-7645. That's 1-877-345-7645. 1-877-345-7645.
Have you ever noticed how many sick and miserable people there are? I'm serious. I'm talking about people of all ages who have conditions and diseases which affect their quality of life. Most of them seem to have one thing in common: polypharmacy. That is, dependence on multiple prescription drugs with side effects that actually make them sicker and sicker, not healthy. The good news is that people are waking up to the fact that if you supply your body with all of the nutrients it requires, you will feel better, be healthier, and have a better life. It's important to know that Beyond Tangy Tangerine is the most amazing, great-tasting, comprehensive nutritional supplement. Besides supplying all the vitamins our bodies need, it also supplies the necessary minerals that are required for the vitamins to kick in. Look, folks, I'm hooked on it, and I think if you try it, you'll become hooked. This stuff really works. That's why I'm urging you to make it part of your daily health regimen. Visit InfoWarsTeam.com to secure your canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine today. Sign up for auto ship and save on shipping costs. That's Beyond Tangy Tangerine at InfoWarsTeam.com.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
You know, Corey, I got to tell you, Avi Gilbert is an incredibly interesting man, and I don't understand technicals, but he's been more often right than wrong vis-a-vis the markets, using his technical knowledge, for lack of a better term. Let's get over to politics a little bit. The news this week was all about Hillary Clinton. We've got Jeff Dice on the line with us. Jeff, you're a big Hillary supporter. What do you think about what's going on?
Well, Al, I know you jest. We're all going to be Hillary supporters if she gets elected, because we're going to be paying her, and we're going to be supporting her in that sense. And it's really astonishing how much wealth her and her husband, the grifters, have managed to amass.
Well, wait a minute, Jeff. You're totally wrong. She's on record as saying we were broke when we left the
Yeah.
Market.
Yeah. Well, broke is on a sliding scale. But no, you know, these people are truly grifters in the honest, ordinary sense of the word. They've never held any kind of real jobs. She was involved in government work, but even before he was governor of Arkansas. You know, it's just astonishing the amount of wealth they built. I mean, this is cronyism in its purest, rawest form, which is, you know, a direct connection between wealth and contributors and foundation money, et cetera, and having, you know, having been president. So now it appears that we're on the precipice of having to endure 8 years of his wife. What's interesting to me is that in the rollout of her campaign this week, there's been nothing substantive. In other words, from what I'm told, even her website really doesn't have much at all about policy. It's just entirely platitudes. And I think what she's trying to do is she's trying to resurrect herself as a figure. In other words, to bring a degree of likability to her persona, which is obviously her biggest flaw. But, you know, there's not much out there substantively other than this recurrent theme that I'm a woman, and isn't it about time that a woman become president? So I think this is going to be a campaign from both parties that's largely devoid of issues. I think it's going to break down along very tribal grounds. And I think the Republicans, for their part, are just going to bellyache about who can be the most bellicose towards Iran or whatever ISIS, whatever boogeyman we can conjure up, you know, the week of whatever debate. So I think it's going to be a very depressing election for people who believe in democracy as the organizing principle for a, you know, a free society. I certainly don't. So from my perspective, it could be a very good electoral process for libertarians, because we may well see Bush versus Clinton. And if that's the case, I think it's going to lead a lot of Americans to the natural conclusion that there's no difference between these parties, and it really is kind of a racket, and that democracy doesn't really give us all a voice and yield the best result and make us freer or better off. So anything that gets us to question the process or question democracy itself as a system, I think is a good thing. So that's why I personally like to see jaded, corporatist, bought and paid for nominees like Hillary, because I think, you know, that's the best thing. That's the silver lining to the cloud.
Jeff, speaking further on your whole comment on this democracy that is apparently in the U.S. system, looking at it from a Canadian perspective, there's something that recently has just been rubbing me the wrong way. In the aspect, when I was away for the last couple of weeks, I was even talking this over with Shannon, and she brought up, we kind of came to this conclusion that isn't there something wrong with democracy when you look back over the past presidents? And let's just assume Hillary wins here. So then we've essentially gone from 1989 having George Bush and then Bill Clinton and then another Bush and then Obama in the middle there, and then we're going to have another Clinton? This doesn't seem right that two families essentially have run what is considered one of the most powerful countries in the world for the past five presidential term, or actually since 1989. That to me does not speak of democracy. That speaks of some sort of hierarchical system in some way or another. It seems weird to me.
Yeah, it is weird. What we really have is oligarchs of both parties. Democracy is largely an illusion, I would argue. And I'd also point out further, Corey, that the word democracy doesn't appear in the Constitution. It doesn't appear in the Declaration of Independence. The Constitution expressly calls out for a Republican form of government, not a Democratic form. And while we certainly have democratic mechanisms in place, we have very anti-democratic elements in the Constitution. The First Amendment is anti-democratic. If 99% of people think that that other 1% should not be allowed to speak, well, the Constitution, the First Amendment says otherwise. So that's non-democratic. The Electoral College is, of course, anti-democratic in the sense that the popular vote winner may not be the Electoral College winner. So this idea that America is a democracy is false from a historical perspective. It's something that the founders themselves were very concerned about and warned against, and it's really something that the left has conjured up during the 20th century, and now the right has come to mouth it as well as a platitude that we're, you know, this is a great democracy. We're not a democracy. We're not supposed to be a democracy. And even when we try to be one, we end up with this system of an entrenched political class and a bunch of voters thinking they make a difference when they really don't. So it's really a false sense of having a say amongst the average citizens, and it serves the interests of an entrenched political class. And by political class, I mean politicians and all the people who benefit directly, like banks and defense contractors and lobbyists, etc. So it's a very dangerous term, and it's one that we shouldn't let either side just wield without questioning it.
And the million-dollar question is, in my opinion, this will never change. Do you think it ever will, Jeff?
I think it absolutely will. I think it has to.
I don't think so. I think it can't.
Oh, I think it will, because I think the democratic system is going to break down, because I think especially amongst entitlements, people are going to vote themselves things that the government simply can't provide. So I'm very sure in my mind that either along dollar lines or entitlement payment lines, we're going to have an unpleasant situation that makes us rethink how we go about doing politics.
Jeff, I hope you are right that there is something to shake up the system a little bit, because it just doesn't seem to be going down the way that I would like to think that most Americans, or at least the founding fathers, would have wanted the system to go down. We are going in this method of there is no difference between the Republicans or the Democrats, and now we're seeing that you don't even have a chance to break into the system because it's just controlled by these families, and clearly there is a power system in place that makes it virtually impossible for certain candidates to get the spotlight, and that's no different than what we're seeing with Clinton right now, Hillary, in the fact that no matter what she does or what she says, or even if she's not doing anything, the mainstream media is finding a way to put her name in front of the vast majority of American citizens.
Yeah, there's no question about it. The media is in the tank for her. When you talk about an entrenched system of a couple different families, I mean, Obama's campaign spent 700 odd million in 2012. So the estimate for 2016 is that the successful candidate will raise and spend about $1 billion with a B on their campaign. So when you look at that, when you look at what's required to be competitive at the national level in American politics, it really reduces your list of potential candidates down to a very small handful. And it really sort of emasculates anybody on the margins, because you just have to have the ability to raise so much money. And to raise so much money, you have to be really sort of corporatist, cronyist, mainstream. So from my perspective, I'm not sure anyone other than Jeb Bush and Hillary Clinton really are going to have the financial wherewithal to compete.
Absolutely amazing what our country has turned into. Is that a good thing or is it a bad thing? Well, you know what I think. I think it's a terrible thing, as does Jeff. And I think our Canadian friend Corey would have to agree with us. What do you guys think out there?
A little right, a little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
There's a man named Dr. Joel Wallach who is anything but your typical doctor, both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician. Doc asks, why does the United States spend more money on health care by far and still rank 50th in health and longevity worldwide? He believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, take charge of their health, and attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs that lead to side effects and more toxic prescription drugs. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the big government, big pharma, and big insurance manipulation of our healthcare system. I'm George Norrie, and I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare. Visit criticalhealthnews.com and listen to Dr. Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I urge you to join our Critical Health News team. Go to criticalhealthnews.com. That's criticalhealthnews.com.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at LegalShield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, LegalShield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to LegalShield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let LegalShield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Attention taxpayers, if you've received a notice from the IRS or state, do not ignore it. It's also a big mistake to try and handle your tax problem on your own. If you owe back taxes, it's a fact that the government has the power to take everything you own, including your home, business, wages, savings, and your freedom. But here's the good news. There's a special toll-free tax hotline set up especially for you. This tax hotline will tell you about new programs that are geared to help you dramatically settle, reduce, or eliminate what you owe. But you have to call now. Take down this number or put it in your cell phone. But call 877-345-7645. That's 877-345-7645. When you call, you get free information on how you can reduce or eliminate back taxes, including penalties and interest. You can also be helped if you have unfiled returns, a tax lien, wage garnishment, bank levy, or if you've been entered into a payment plan but can't make the payments. Don't make the big mistake in thinking you can ignore or handle your tax problem on your own. You can stop the collection process immediately at 1-877-345-7645. That's 1-877-345-7645. 1-877-345-7645.
Okay, here to wrap up the weekend edition, Corey and I are chatting right now with Valentin Schmidt. Valentin, we're going to talk a little bit about China right now. You are the business editor of the Epoch Times, a great newspaper out of New York. I cannot recommend it enough, by the way. I've been a subscriber for about 2 years. I like it a lot. Give us your impression about China and innovation.
China and innovation, okay. Those are some fairly broad topics. Thanks, Al, by the way, again.
For you're a bright guy. You're a bright guy. You can handle broad topics.
Okay, good. Thanks for the advertisement and the promotion. As usual, the check is in the mail. So, China and innovation is one of my favorite topics because you basically said you're reading a book saying of how China has developed from the 80s to now, and it's been 35 years since the reforms and opening up, etc. And, of course, they've made some great progress. Nobody can deny that. They are now the second largest economy in the world. Most of the country has at least middle-income wages. There's still a fair amount of people in poverty in the inner regions. People forget that. And then we should also talk about the cost of this rapid economic development, so which is actually tied to innovation, because at the end of the day, what drives economic development? It's always gains in productivity, and what drives productivity is population growth, and then second is technology. So China, for the better part of their fairly simplistic economic model, which is a mercantilist model, undervalue the exchange rate and export a lot of goods to attract foreign capital. They did that fairly well. They had growing population. They imported that know-how, that technology to increase their productivity, and that has worked pretty well for good measure. And let's not forget about that. They also created one of the biggest debt bubbles in history, with private debt to GDP at around 200%. Now the largest in any country. Let's not forget about that. That was a big part. They wasted a ton of resources and useless infrastructure projects and excess production capacity. That's where the private debt is all about. And real estate, of course. That's the debt on the developers' books. To keep that growth going, and they imported a ton of resources from Australia, wasted a lot of labor on that, so that's how they kept on that growth. And then, of course, they started to become entrepreneurial and somewhat capitalist, and people started their own businesses. They could, you know, have their own dry cleaning company or whatever, and fairly standard run-of-the-mill things that everybody can do. And But and most of the bigger companies in China, however, they're twofold. They're either state-owned and enjoy monopoly protection, like the big banks or the petroleum companies, or they basically just took a Western business model and knocked it off and implemented it in China. And Alibaba is a good example, which copied basically Amazon and eBay. And then Xiaomi is a good example, which basically copies all the Western mobile phones. And so what they do is they reverse engineer it. They copy all that stuff, and then they sell into a massive market that some Western companies have problems selling into because they don't understand the cultural differences. So Amazon, for example, has flopped there. Who else is Office Depot, State, you name it, a lot of companies. eBay didn't make it because they didn't understand the cultural differences. So that's fine. And so you're selling into a huge market at an artificially low price, and you're making money. I mean, that's fine, but I don't see that as innovative. I don't see that as really creating value in the long term. And now China is coming to a stage where they want to step out, even out of this manufacturing trap, and become service orientated. But how are you going to do that if you don't have a real mindset of entrepreneurialism, of risk taking, which clearly they don't, because otherwise they would have come up with some really world-class innovations. I mean, you have 1.3 billion people there. We would have thought that over the last 30 years, they would have come up with a game changer. I'm talking about a Facebook, a Google. I'm talking about a mobile phone, BlackBerry, you know, you name it, all the stuff that Western companies are good at. You would have thought, you know, China at least won, you know. And I always like to tell the story when I was at a panel discussion in Edinburgh together with a professor, Chinese, and she was specialized in innovation, and asked her, yeah, what's the biggest thing China came up with? Because I don't, frankly, really don't know of any. And she said they'd made some improvements in the 3G mobile phone protocol. And I said, oh, okay, well, if that's it, you know, it's really not much to show for. And having a monologue, I really would like to add that some of this growth and what you call entrepreneurialism really came at a very high price, because all of China's industry is hugely inefficient. They consume much more input per unit of output than everybody else, whether it be labor, capital, natural resources, causing a ton of pollution, requiring a ton of credit for everything they produce. So again, this is a sign that they're really not innovative in making the most of what they have. Instead, they just use their size and their scale to and their authoritarian central planning to mask some of the side effects of this policy. And you have huge problems in China, massive.
Now, Valentin, I feel like there are a number of different topics that we could chat about here, going off on what you said. But one aspect that I think we could focus on is this shift, or at least the needed or at wanted shift of China to move more into a domestic demand rather than simply an export economy. Everything I read is saying that China says it's okay that they're not growing at, say, 10% a year, because their focus is more on the domestic product. I know that you don't believe or think that this will ever fully happen, but can you give us reasons why?
Well, it will happen eventually, but it will come after an extremely painful transition, because basically what you've had the last couple of years was you had a productive sector. Again, we're talking about 200% debt to GDP. We're talking about excess capacity in steel, solar, you name it, shipbuilding, that was built up on the back of labor, which had to work, and they did get compensated, but their share of compensation was far lower than the share of capital. And that's fine, you can do that for a bit, but again, if you're fundamentally inefficient and unproductive, and Chinese companies operate at very thin margins, then you basically don't have a lot of room to rebalance. I mean, if Chinese companies' profit margins on average were 20%, then you say, okay, I just give 15% to that to labor, and then I hope that they spend it, and then I'll be okay. But the problem is that Chinese companies' profit margins on average are probably 1% or 2%, so you don't really have a lot to redistribute there. And if you do, then those companies go bankrupt. They will fire the people, so you don't have people making money at all. This is a fairly problematic starting point, which is very hard to find a solution for it, especially not in the short term.
Well, and Valentin, China has become such a big player in the global economy that I think they really do need to be considered, each of their movements and how they stack up compared to the other countries out there. So real quick, we only have under a minute left now. Where would you rank China in terms of putting them around U.S., Europe, even some other of the emerging markets?
Well, again, it's two things here. It's size. Of course, they're huge. They're bigger than Japan, bigger than Europe. But in terms of thought leadership, innovation, actually added value, they're like far behind even some other emerging economies like Brazil or Mexico.
Valentin, appreciate your comments. We hope everybody enjoyed this weekend's show. It's great to be back. As I said on the onset, I'm looking forward to getting settled in this weekend and being right back to it beginning of next week. Everyone who doesn't come to our website, please check out the blog at kereport.com. Download our podcast on iTunes or however you listen to your podcast, and come weigh in on the forums, because that's how we learn a lot thanks to our continuing contributors.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.D. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guest by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Avoid bankruptcy. Does credit card debt have you living paycheck to paycheck? Our attorneys at the Legal Center for Debt Resolution will find the absolute best debt reduction solution for you, or you pay nothing. It's called pay for performance, and you won't pay a dime until the job's done. That's right. No upfront fee, no monthly fees, nada. You pay nothing until after your account is settled. If you owe $10,000, $30,000, or even $50,000 in credit card debt, call the Legal Center for Debt Resolution at 800-449-4269. 800-449-4269.
The people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.